Small business owners are always passionate about their work, and they have a lot on the line. Let Verizon help champion your small business dream. Whether you own a small business or scaling one or starting one from scratch, you need Verizon Small Business Days. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon Business Experts for small business support. During Verizon Small Business Days, you can receive a free tech check with a one-on-one meeting with a Verizon Business Expert. Plus, Verizon Business Experts will provide you with personalized advice and solutions that are tailored to your specific small business needs. Take advantage of special offers and deals during Verizon Small Business Days and get more for your business. Verizon has your back. Don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/smallbusiness.
Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones, from powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY, a big idea that inspired the world to invest differently, and still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
My mission is simple, to make you money. I'm here to level the playing field for all investors. There's always a bull market somewhere, and I promise to help you find it. Mad Money starts now.
Hey, I'm Cramer.
Welcome to a special West Coast edition of Mad Money. Welcome to Cramerica. Other than my friends, I'm just trying to make a little money. My job is not just to entertain, but to teach. So call me, 1-800-743-CNBC, or tweet me at Jim Cramer. All amazing things must come to an end. So today we bid adieu to the West Coast, where we learned about all things AI from NVIDIA, championed Apple's Vision Pro as a business-to-business product tied to NVIDIA's platform, and reiterated that you should own, not trade, both stocks, even as Apple's now under assault from the Justice Department for unfairly putting out a real good phone. Oh, just another week in the life of Silicon Valley, which we shared in the bounty of still one more week of record-breaking action. Even as the market lost team today, Dow slipping 305 points. S&P declining 0.14%. NASDAQ actually advancing just 1.6%. I'll take it. So what awaits us when we come in next week? As early as Monday, a familiar symbol returns to trading, DJT for Donald J. Trump, which is the SPAC that converted Friday into Trump Media and Technology Group. I'm mentioning this vehicle because it could produce a big windfall for former President Trump, whose stake in the company is worth about $3 billion now, and could be worth much more if the stock stays above certain levels for just a few weeks. His stock's going to be locked up for 6 months, but he could petition the company's board to begin selling his shares immediately. Worth noting because his company and his campaign apparently need money. Rarely do you get a SPAC like this with such political implications. We also get new home sales on Monday, and we know that housing is at the heart of the Federal Reserve's dilemma. See, the Fed needs more homes to be built, okay? He's got to bring down the cost of rent, but the home builders have been reluctant to increase construction because of higher mortgage rates. If Jay Powell wants more homes to be built, he should actually be cutting short rates. But if he does that, well, the price of housing will skyrocket. It's not even a Hobson's choice, for heaven's sake. Yesterday, the Justice Department came after Apple with everything it had, which was, candidly, not much. But Apple had a weak stock for ages, and the suit just brought out more sellers. I'm waiting to hear from Apple and Google about an artificial intelligence tie-in, and maybe more about the Vision Pro for the enterprise, like what we saw when NVIDIA live-streamed their Omniverse to the device, and we almost bought a car that didn't even exist. Yeah, the resolution was that great. The Reddit IPO came earlier this week, and it was in its success as the company managed to place enough stock with loyal Redditors who, for the most part, didn't sell. The company isn't making money yet, but it's on track to get there eventually, although the stock started pulling back today. I'm less interested in this company, frankly. I'm more interested in whether the Redditors will return in force to focus on individual stocks again, like they once did with GameStop, which reports on Tuesday. I expect another dismal quarter, of course, but that never stopped anyone from the Wall Street Bets department of Reddit. I don't expect a repeat of the action from 3 years ago, but perhaps they'll help prop up the stock after another horrendous set of numbers. Also on Tuesday, I think we could be in for some better-than-expected numbers from McCormick, the big maker of spices and seasonings. Oh, man, the last quarter, I'm calling it subpar. But I bet this terrific house of flavor brands, without a lot of fattening product, by the way, could have upside. The last two food companies that reported, Hormel and General Mills, both had nice upside surprises. Let's see if three's the charm. Wednesday, we hear from the most consistent company of the week, which is Cintas. That's the uniform rental company we have on that's also expanded to providing all sorts of essential fire and safety services to small, medium-sized, and, yes, large businesses. Cintas is just repeatedly blowing away the numbers. I expect nothing less this time. Bankable. And then there's a wild card, Carnival, the cruise line. Royal Caribbean has pulled away from the pack here. Can Carnival catch up? I think it'd be hard not to. Hey, next, Kimberly Clark. Yeah, storied names. Got an analyst meeting on Wednesday. With a great brand and almost 4% yield, this company may be ready to play offense after some slowdown caused by the persistence of this work-from-home ethos. Remember, Kimberly Clark does a lot of enterprise business, keeping the office bathroom stock with soap and paper. I think the stock's pretty interesting down here. Thursday, Walgreens boosts the line. Speak of interesting down here reports. And for once, I'm actually excited about this drugstore stock because there could be a turn in hand now that they brought in Tim Wentworth, at last, a seasoned healthcare exec and CEO. It may be too soon to make big changes, but something has to be done pronto. I'd just love to hear Wentworth lay out a plan for Walgreens to return to growth. He clearly has one, or else he would never have taken the job. It's not like he needs to work. It's not like he has to prove anything. He used to be the CEO of Express Scripts, one of the most successful pharmacy benefit managers ever, which he sold to Cigna for a cool $67 billion. We just got through the torture of a Fed meeting, so I'd like to keep the Fed speak to a minimum, please. But I do want to point out that on Friday, we get the personal consumption expenditures numbers, and this apparently is Jay Powell's favorite inflation reading. The bottom line, we're no longer fighting the Fed, people. They don't seem inclined to raise rates when they're supposed to be cutting them. That doesn't make sense. And that means even if we hear a lot of noise about an overheated inflation number, I'd, yes, consider it a buying opportunity. Let's go to Sean in Texas. Sean.
Hey, Jim. I have a question about a stock I originally bought for the dividend yield. The stock
sure.
is Pioneer, PXD. Now with it going back up some in the merger with Pioneer and Exxon, would it be a good idea to sell and purchase?
I think
maybe
you should ring the register and roll that money into what the stocks that I tell club members that they should own, which is Cotera, C-T-R-A. That's a better value right now. Pioneer is trapped by the price of Exxon, which is buying them. Let's go to Kevin in the Illini. Kevin.
Hey, Jim. Booyah from Illini Nation.
No, booyah right back. What's up?
Hey, what's your thoughts on Nike with the shift in strategy? I did see foot traffic was up 36% in January, and February seems like maybe a buying opportunity to me.
I don't know. I've been struggling. The reason I've been struggling is since Dick's had a really good quarter, so I don't want to hear about the American consumer not spending that much on sporting goods sneakers. I think that Nike's got to try to bottom here before I'll recommend it. Maybe at 90. It's got a great brand name, but it's the next quarter is going to be weak, too. Let's go to Greg in Illinois. Greg.
Booyah, Jim. I'm so happy to speak to you. How are you?
I'm doing well, Greg. How about you?
Awesome. I'm such a big fan. I've been watching your show since AMD was at $2. My question to you is on General Mills. The stock went up.
The General Mills quarter was really, really good. Bye. It was good quarter, and I recommend the stock. 3.4% without a lot of GLP-1 exposure. I think you're good to go on that one. All right, look, we're no longer fighting the Fed, which means if we get some inflation-related turbulence in the market, I consider it a chance to be able to do
bye.
Oh, man, I'm wrapping up my time in San Francisco with some of the Bay Area's top companies, including Block. The fintech company recently surprised to the upside. Hey, can you square up this stock for the portfolio? I got the company's top brass. Then I'm talking to the CEO of one of the most powerful growth stories of the last few years. It's getting its mojo back. I'm finding out how Roblox has been building up its market value and its millions of users, and I'm liking the homework. Let's see what the company says. And even a data breach wasn't enough to keep Okta down. So can this identity software company keep performing? I'm going to talk to the CEO. So stay with Cramer.
Don't miss a second of Mad Money. Follow at Jim Cramer on X. Have a question? Tweet Cramer. Hashtag Mad Mentions. Send Jim an email to madmoney@cnbc.com or give us a call at 1-800-743-CNBC. Miss something? Head to madmoney.cnbc.com.
When you're hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging to connect with candidates faster. Plus, 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Mad Money. Just go to Indeed.com/Mad Money right now and support this show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Mad Money. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Has Block, the financial technology company formerly known as Square, finally gotten its mojo back? After spending a couple years lost in the wilderness, the company reported a much better than expected quarter last month, and the stock has more than doubled since the end of October. So can it keep running? Earlier today, we checked in with Amrita Ahuja. She's the CFO and COO of Block. Take a look. Amrita, since I've seen you last, this has got to be the most exciting time I can recall for Block, a la Square. You focused on so many different things, but right now it's the one that all the younger people tell me about. It's Cash App, and it's about to explode.
Jim, thank you so much for having me here. We're incredibly excited about the opportunity we see with Cash App to bank our base. We have 56 million monthly actives. More important than that number is the engagement of those actives on our platform. 2 in 3 of them are weekly actives. 1 in 4 of them are daily actives. And they're using our financial services products regularly, like Cash App Card, which is a free Visa debit card that's customizable and is really popular with Gen Z and younger populations. Well,
my kids had Cash App before. It was the first thing they had. And then I realized when I looked through your documents, there are 13-year-olds who are with it. And they'll be there for life.
Well, we have a families offering that is really unique because this is a population that's pretty underserved and we get to grow with them. There are about 38% of our monthly actives, but only 28% of our inflows. So imagine the opportunity to grow as they become the spenders and earners of the future. And it gives us a chance to grow upmarket with them. We get to reach their parents and their aunts and uncles and their community around them.
I love the fact that as they get wealthier, you get more of their wallet, which is terrific. That's happening.
That's right. We see that as people use more and more of Cash App, they adopt more products. So not only 23 million on Cash App Card, but 3 million using our more nascent products, Cash App Borrow, which is a fast access line of credit, Cash App Pay, which is a chance to use your stored funds within Cash App at so many merchants around the world, or Paycheck Direct Deposit. Now, when a customer is direct depositing into Cash App, they bring 6 to 7 times more inflows into Cash App, which is an immense monetization opportunity.
That's why you've got the great leverage that I've been looking for in the financial services. You are doing a lot of exciting things, and you're doing them with a thin group of people in terms of encouraging productivity. A cap of 12,000, something that Jack Dorsey talks about as being a great way to recenter the company.
That's right, Jim. This is a way for us to use constraints to drive creativity. So constraints here are the number of people we have at the company, and it drives a focus on what matters the most. It helps us prioritize our work, and it helps us think strategically about what most benefits our customers. Of course, it also benefits the bottom line, and that's where we see significant margin expansion opportunity. What we've guided to this year is already 8 points or more of margin expansion, and we want to do more of that as we hit Rule of 40 in 2026.
Right, and that's a great growth and margin story, and I think that people should recognize that a lot of financial services companies would kill for that level of growth. They don't have it. Some other things that you do are just, I think, cutting edge. You do fractional shares. Is it working?
That's right. So within Cash App, you have the opportunity to buy $1 or $10 of NVIDIA or Berkshire Hathaway. It's a really exciting opportunity to bring people in to stock investing. When we launched this product in 2019, what we saw was over half of U.S. households were not investing in the stock market. So this is an opportunity to make it more accessible and bring people into the significant wealth creation opportunities that others already have.
Okay, now we are big fans of Bitcoin. We are not against it. We think it's a great storehold of value. Do you think it can be, go back to where people thought that at one point it would be used as a currency?
So we want to drive utility to Bitcoin, and we've got multiple ways to do that. We do, with our Lightning Network initiative, C equals, have an opportunity to use Bitcoin as a currency, but we're looking at the multitude of ways, a store of value, self-custodying, buying and selling Bitcoin, mining Bitcoin, and global remittances. Those are our efforts. They're relatively small today and experimental, but we see a significant opportunity to drive utility and, again, bring more people into the economy.
If someone wants to open an account and buy Ethereum, are you a place that you can do it?
No, we only do Bitcoin.
Really?
Yes.
Is it time to expand to others?
We think Bitcoin is the longest lived, best brand, open developer ecosystem, and we see a significant opportunity behind Bitcoin.
Fair enough. I want you to be more expansive because it's hard to find places that you trust that can allow you to buy the others, but maybe that's because you vetted them and not sure they're necessarily the right ones to be in.
Trust is critical. And again, focus for us is critical. And that's where the focus is with Bitcoin.
Okay, you spent $29 billion on Afterpay. How's it working?
Afterpay is an incredible opportunity to bring commerce into Cash App. We had over 20 million consumers on an annual basis using Afterpay with increasing frequency. These younger customers, Jim, don't trust the negative debt spirals that you see from credit cards. Yeah. And so with Afterpay, we grew our gross merchandising volume by 25% in the important seasonal Q4 quarter. And I think there's even more opportunity to integrate it into Cash App and to bring those local commerce opportunities out between the combination of Square, Cash App, and Afterpay. That's where we really think the Block is differentiated.
Okay, I'm glad you mentioned the term Square because you work closely, obviously, with Jack Dorsey, who's running Square. Can you just give us the kind of the division of labor? Were you in, for instance, on the decision to cap at 12,000?
Absolutely. This was a joint decision across our leadership, but driven by Jack in an effort that was really brought out by clarifying our investment to our financial targets, which is to reach Rule of 40 in 2026. What we've said is we believe we'll get there by a 15% growth rate, hopefully more, or a 25% or so adjusted operating income margin. Well, to drive that kind of margin expansion, we need constraint. And to drive continued growth at scale, we need focus.
Well, that's one of the reasons when you say Rule of 40, I mean, I was always questioning how much you're balancing profitability and growth. I'm not sure right now. You can clarify right now for us. Equal, more growth? Because I love the growth app, but yet when the pivot occurred after the Fed changed, I want more profitability. I want profitable growth.
We want profitable growth, too. And because we invest in high unit economic businesses, when we drive a point of growth at the top line, that drives high incremental margins at the bottom line. So growth is ultimately accretive to both profitability and the top line.
One last thing, I got to ask you, so I didn't ask on people out here, you do a lot of work from home, but what's your feeling about San Francisco right now as a place to work, as a place that people are starting businesses? Is it safer? Are more people coming back here?
I mean, there's incredible talent here, Jim, and I think that there's a real buzz in the air. That said, we want to be a global company, and we want to access talent all around the world. This is why we allow our employees to work in a distributed manner, and we can find diverse talent, excellent talent, in many other cities around the world, too.
Well, I've been recommending your stock for some time, and I hope people understand now why, because I like profitable growth they're giving to us, and they're making people... They're converting people at the age of 13. They do it for life. Amrita, who's just the COO and CFO of Block. I just love it when you come in.
Thanks so much.
Coming up, headwinds in the Omniverse. Can this VR stock find its form amid risk? Kramer asks the tough questions. Next.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
While we're out here in Silicon Valley, let's check in with one of the most powerful growth stories around, even if it's not a great profitability story yet. I'm talking about Roblox, the online gaming and game creation platform that's insanely popular with kids. 71.5 million daily active users in the latest quarter. But because they never pivoted to profitability yet, the stock hasn't gotten as much love as I think it should have. Can that change? Let's go straight to the source with David Baszucki. He is the founder, chairman, CEO of Roblox. Mr. Baszucki, welcome back to Mad Money.
Jim, I can't believe we're live together.
It's great.
Finally.
And you know
what? Thank you.
It's the right time to be live because this was an amazing quarter.
Thank you.
This is the beginning of the great reacceleration. Just some quick numbers. Daily average users up 22%. Hours engaged up 21%. Revenues up 30%. Bookings up gigantically. Japan, India. It's happening. It's the reacceleration that we've wanted, and it's deserving because you always had the best product.
Yeah, thanks. It was a great quarter. We have so many things driving growth, right? Okay. More older users, international, Japan and India going over 40% year on year. For those that aren't familiar with Roblox, 100% powered by our community. Everything on Roblox made by amazing creators, some single people, some studios with 100 people. A lot of innovation on our part to help accelerate that, and a lot of headroom as well.
Okay, so let's talk about this age up situation. Now, when people are on the conference call, they may say, well, what is so important about aging up? So why don't you tell us, because it's really happening.
Well, historically, there were more users on Roblox under 13 than over 13 years old. When we think of the United States, for example, there's so many people over 13 relative to under 13. So as we age up and as we have more people over 13 than under, there's amazing headroom for all of those people, not just playing together, but people hang out on our platform. They learn together. They do educational experiences. They socialize. Some of them are starting to go to concerts. So there's a lot of headroom there.
Now, you actually use AI. A lot of people say they have AI. But if you're in all these different countries, you have to have real-time AI language translation. It's happening, right?
That's exactly right. We have over 70 ML pipelines on our platform behind the scenes. It's driving civility. It's driving safety. As you mentioned, it's driving the dream of a classroom in the United States with a classroom somewhere else hanging out together and communicating in real time. As we've introduced voice, all of the millions of hours of voice on our platform are being kept safe and civil with AI. And we're starting to introduce AI tools that allow creation. For example, imagine you and I wanted to create clothing. Okay. You'll be able to create clothing on Roblox someday by describing the clothing. So AI is going to help everyone be a creator.
Now, when I was on it recently, there's some football. You got some sports. Right? There's some key things that you're beginning to get. I mean, there's lots of different kinds of program where I'm saying is that so it can be boys who are 13. There's lots of stuff for mixed everything. And they're all really safe. No matter what, I couldn't find anything that I felt was edgy, which, frankly, I don't want.
Since we started, civility and safety has been the foundation of our platform. We have thousands of people in safety. We improve that with AI. And as you noted, as you looked around, you saw most likely incredible variety, incredible diversity, incredible freshness of content. It's what's been driving our growth, having this giant community of creators build awesome content.
Now, when I hear that, I also think, boy, would I like to advertise against that. Now, I know, and I'm not trying to get you to talk about numbers right now. It's not right because you're middle of the quarter, but advertisers are getting real interested.
We're starting to introduce both traditional and more innovative advertising units, you know, partners like Lamborghini, Adidas, McDonald's. What they are offering is not just brand advertising, but the ability to interact with an experience, the ability to go to a place like Vans World, try on those shoes, go skateboarding together, connect with the brand in real world. And we have a lot more coming there.
Well, that would be good for MetaQuest. That might be a play to be able to use.
MetaQuest is amazing. We've been live on in Q4. We introduced MetaQuest and Sony PlayStation. Those are both very aligned with the vision of when a creator makes something on Roblox, it runs in every language that we support. It runs on all devices, phones, tablets, computers, consoles. And MetaQuest and VR devices are one of the most immersive ways to experience Roblox.
Now, you did use the term interesting candidate when it came to Vision Pro. That was when you reported. Is there another word we can use besides interesting candidate, or is that word still the status?
I would say several devices are obvious candidates. You know, Vision the Vision Pro is a lovely device as far as mixed reality, the quality of that device. We've already architected on MetaQuest, so it's an obvious device.
Okay, fair enough.
Without giving any ship date.
Understood, because sometimes it's difficult to talk about different relationships.
That's
not everybody,
right.
Not all relationships are equal. Now, how is this special event, The Hunt, going?
So we have this long tradition of events on our platform. What's interesting about Roblox events, they leverage everything the community has built. We build a lightweight layer. Imagine a modern day scavenger hunt where you're going to go to 100 different places, except the 100 different places are literally the individual experiences made by our creators. So there's 100 creators participating in this event. They all have a special scavenger type item you can go and find. And it really just highlights the variety and diversity of our platform.
Okay, so people are playing, they're looking?
Absolutely. People are going on large scavenger hunts. People are live streaming about it. People are going doing different things in different places, highlighting we're really just building the event itself. But all the cool stuff is built by our creators.
Oh, that's fantastic. One last thing. You mentioned that you had thousands of people looking at safety. One of the things I was worried about Reddit was that there can be these boisterous areas of Reddit, and they say the community pleases them. That's not enough to have a community police things when it comes to Roblox.
We do a wide range of things. We use human moderation. We use AI moderation. We use predictive moderation. We look at content on our platform. We look at communication on our platform. Voice safety is something that we've rolled out carefully and slowly. We've developed some of the most innovative AI in the world to, in real time, monitor voice. I got called out in a interactive company office setting for using a swear word because we had set the voice safety level to very high and one of my employee engagements. So, it's really good.
Well, look, I think that's why teachers all over the world, I guess I knew the country now, I guess with India and Japan, all over the world feel very safe having the kids be.
Yeah, in Roblox, we're seeing educational experiences like FIRST Robotics and stuff where students are able to build stuff they can't do in real life.
Well, the good guys win. I knew that you would just get to the acceleration that you're at. It's Q1 of the acceleration. There's many things your way. Anyway, that's Dave Baszucki. He's the founder, chair, and CEO of Roblox. Guys, I've been waiting for this one to take off. It is taking off, and Mad Money's back in.
Thank you.
Coming up, this stock soared last month. Can the good times keep rolling? Kramer's got the CEO when we return.
Last October, there was a big data breach at Okta, the software company that handles identity and access management. Ironic. But if you thought that would lose Okta business, well, let me tell you something. 3 weeks ago, they proved you wrong with a magnificent quarter that sent the stock into the stratosphere. You know what? I don't think it's done. Yesterday, we sat down with Todd McKinney. He's the co-founder and CEO of Okta. Take a look. Todd, you have accelerating revenue growth. Now, some of that's because the bad guys just want to know our IDs, but you also have done Customer Identity Cloud and Privilege Access Manager. We really haven't talked about them together. I want to give you the floor on these because these are very clear verticals that you excel in.
Yeah, so our strategy is we want to be the leading identity management company, and that means having leading products in every category. Traditionally, we've been known for workforce identity, which was helping employees and partners log in securely to all of their technology. But now about 40% of our revenue is from customers logging into websites and mobile apps. So a great example of that is OpenAI. So when you use ChatGPT, you log in through Okta. So we're keeping those users secure and connecting them seamlessly to ChatGPT. And this is a really big, important part of our business because if you take a step back and think about it from a CEO's perspective or a board of directors perspective, and we want to be their identity platform of choice, we have to cover all of these use cases, and for sure their customer experiences and the new mobile apps they're launching and the online experiences are as important as their employee experiences. It all has to work together in one conference.
But the difficult thing is I want to get on. I want to be on ChatGPT as quick as I can. I want to be on Netflix as fast. I want to be on every single site as quickly as I can. But the faster, for the most part, there's been a trade-off. If you let me in quickly, then I'm also going more likely to hack you and wreck your system. You are somehow able to toggle both.
Yeah, well, that's the kind of the, when you think about technology, there's always trade-offs, right? Speed and performance and cost. I think in the identity world, traditionally there has been this trade-off between how easy do you want it for end users, how easy do you want it for customer experience, and how secure can you make it. And that's been challenging, but we have a lot of technologies in our favor. A simple example is now we have more biometric sensors. With every phone having a biometric sensor on, that's a really good step up from the traditional password where we can scan your eye or we can look at a fingerprint and get you onto those sites right away. There's an exciting new technology out there called passkeys, which is a way that all of the different operating systems can agree to share that biometric sensor data and seamlessly connect users across all platforms. And Okta, with our customer identity cloud, we're right in the middle of that, helping developers make it super easy to adopt passkeys and power their websites with these great customer experiences.
Are these big enterprises or also small, medium?
It's across the board. We have almost 19,000 customers, and one of the fastest growing segments is our cohort of $1 million plus customers.
Right.
So customers paying this over $1 million.
I know, because you had that problem. You had your own hack, and I was shocked to see. I mean, the way you can measure whether your company's come back is the number of $1 million customers. And it's just been an incredible surge for you. Now, one of the things that I think the reason why it's been a surge is that there are many enterprises that deal with the public, a big casino company, a big cruise line, say. And everyone is hospitable, but hospitality can be the death knell because they want to help the customer, and the customer may be a bad actor. What do you do to make it so that these workers can do the best, be as helpful as possible, and yet not infiltrate?
Well, one of the reasons why I'm so excited about where we're going in our future is we can be the partner to a lot of these companies that are moving their businesses online. If you're a casino or a gaming company or a cruise line, as you mentioned, 20 years ago, there was no online connected experience, but now the default for consumers is they want everything to be available online, from bookings and reservations to customer experience, checking into their room, looking at their bill. They want to have that flexibility, and all the consumer internet companies have raised the standard there. And it's up to us to partner with these companies to help them branch out and bring their business online, whether it's a cruise line, creating a new mobile app, or it's any industry that's been traditional, an industry can get more connected.
But at the same time, your video is making clear that the company, it's the company. Like, Okta doesn't want to be, it's not brought to you by Okta if you're on a cruise line, because you don't want that, right? You want the company to be the responsible one.
Yeah, it's all about the customer and how they're extending their brand to their customer base, whether you're an airline building a loyalty program, any industry with consumers or...
But at the same time, that customer doesn't really have any knowledge. They have to turn to Okta. It costs too much money for them to learn to do what you do.
Well, the learning is the key word there.
Right.
So learning can be very expensive, especially when you're talking about when more business processes and more interactions get online, the risk of security breaches gets higher.
Right.
So you have to not only get the experience right, but you also have to get the security right, and that's a painful thing for companies to learn.
I also like the fact that you've made it very clear that there are individual moments, acquisitions, divestitures, complex use cases where, again, you have to bring in Okta. It's too dangerous. There's too many people whose names are being left out, and they infiltrate through that.
Yeah, we pride ourselves on being the leading identity platform, as I mentioned, covering all of these use cases. But also, we pride ourselves on being just identity and focused on identity, because that makes us neutral. We don't favor a certain platform or a certain application or a certain system. We give the customer choice across many different choices of technology, which is very important, because when you talk about these key business events like a merger or a divestiture, big strategic decisions that boards of directors are making, guess what? The company you're buying probably has a different tech stack. It's probably not standardized like the divisions of your company, which means an identity platform that can connect you in a neutral way to that technology stack is going to help you drive that business and get that merger done faster. And what do all these companies want? They want
speed,
to drive growth.
Right.
They want to do it more effectively. They want to get their brands out there. They want to extend their businesses. And identity can be at the middle of all that, which is why we're in such a good position.
Well, one last question. I have a little feisty Tom McKinnon here. I'm looking at a screenshot. Okta's superior choice versus Microsoft every time. Todd, you're taking the gloves off here. But you had data. I went to your footnote section. You have data which shows that people are choosing you over Microsoft.
Yeah, Microsoft is a significant player in technology, obviously, but in the identity industry itself. But they're pretty different than us in that they are selling more than just identity. So by default, their identity platform is going to favor their technology. Where we go to the customers and say, you can choose any app you want. You can choose any development platform. You're not going to be locked in. You're not going to be beholden to that gatekeeper. You're going to have choice with us. So the stats bear it out, but just at a philosophical level, we're very differentiated, and I think the customers are really seeing that, and that's what's driving
the results. It's clear you're winning. You're winning. And it's great, because I know, like I said, because I've known you for a long time, you had Stumble, you talked about it, you were open about it, people love the fact that you're open about it, you have the best technology, and you're growing faster than anybody in the industry again, which is pretty good testament to your leadership. That's Todd McKinnon. He's the CEO and co-founder of Okta, a company that I have liked for a very long time. Thank you, Todd.
Thank you.
When we return, master the markets one stock at a time. The lightning round is up next.
And then the lightning round is over. Are you ready, Ski? Down to the lightning round. Let's start with Thomas in California. Thomas!
Kramer, booyah, ahoy from the San Francisco Bay. What a great national treasure you are. Thank you very
Thank
much
you.
For all you do for us.
Thank you. Thank you.
Justin Wong's interviews are amazing.
Oh, thanks a lot. Yeah, we had a great time with Justin. He's the best. How can I help you?
RJF, what are your thoughts?
The thing is a horse. It's now valued more highly than JP Morgan. So I'm going to have to say, it's too late. We missed it. Let's find the next one. Jeremiah in California. Jeremiah.
Hey, Jim, thanks for taking my call. You're there.
Of course.
Best, and this stock has been bouncing up and down. It's ARM, and I think it's...
I like ARM very much. I wanted to be sure that we had that lockup expiration, and it looks
like it's coming.
I think you got a good situation going there. I want to be a buyer. Michael in Georgia. Michael!
Booyah, Jim. First time
Booyah.
Caller.
Booyah. What's going on?
So my question is around Unity Software, ticker symbol U.
Okay, I would have told you to sell the stock, but you know what? You can't anymore. Why? Because Jim Whitehurst is now in charge. And Whitehurst is a winner. I am a buyer. I've changed my mind on the stock because he's running it. Let's go to George in California. George.
Booyah, Jimmy.
Booyah.
I'm calling on Comstock Resources, CRK.
Yeah, you know what? I just think there's so many other better there. I'm going to have to refer you again to Cotera, CTRA, which is just a better situation. I want to go to Josephine in Florida. Josephine.
Hi, Jim. Love the show. I'd like
Thank
to get
you.
Your opinion on Uber.
Oh, Uber, I am very bullish on. And by the way, needless to say, when Lyft was at 10, who did we say you should bet on? And now it's a double. I'm giving you a twofer there. John in Pennsylvania. John.
Hello, Jim. Thanks
John.
For taking my call.
Of course.
I have a question about General Electric.
All right. Now, people are saying the stock is overextended, and I totally get that. It's one of the greatest charts in the book. But because Boeing is so screwed up, people are saying, give me an aerospace play, and they keep going back to GE. So I'm not going to tell you to sell the stock. I can tell you that you can hold it. If it drops down, buy more. But I can't tell you to sell it. It's too good. Now we're going to Sam in Colorado. Sam.
Jim, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Sam. How about you?
I'm all right, Jim. You know, listen, I got a stock for tonight. It's Teva Pharmaceutical, and the company seems set up to really do well now that the litigation from the opioid settlements are over, and the debt seems to be well paid by the cash flows. What do you think of Teva?
You know what? You're right. You're right. I've been hard on Teva because I like Lilly, but Teva's situation is improving, and it's ridiculously inexpensive, and they actually have some good scientists there. So I'm not knocking Teva anymore. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go in on Teva. How about Rebecca in New York? Rebecca.
Hi, it is a pleasure talking to you. I want to thank you and your wonderful staff. They're extremely helpful.
I got a good staff, no doubt about it.
Yes,
we have a good staff. How can I help you?
That's great. I was thinking about buying a symbol NVO Novo Nordisk. What do you think about that stuff?
Look, I think you should buy Lilly instead because Lilly's going to have in the next 3 months some very good news, I think, on its anti-dementia drug, and that will be your chance. And Novo doesn't have that. Let's go to Rob in Pennsylvania. Rob.
Hey, booyah, Jim. How are
booyah.
You?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm fine. Hey, I've been doing a lot of reading and some homework on the AI field, and there's one name that stands out and keeps coming up, and I wanted to know your take on SoundHound.
All right, some people say I killed SoundHound. It was at 9, and I said I would not buy it, so I didn't mean to kill it, but at 6, I won't buy it either. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the conclusion of the Lightning Round!
The Lightning Round is sponsored by Charles Schwab. Coming up, Cramer wraps up his week out west. The mastermind behind NVIDIA goes in-depth once more on Mad Money.
We came out to the Bay Area for NVIDIA's big GTC event. So when I got to speak with Jensen Huang, NVIDIA's visionary founder, president, and CEO, you better believe I tried to speak with him for as long as possible. Here are some highlights from the final part of my discussion with perhaps the most important business person on Earth right now. I want to talk about the things that seem superfluous or frivolous, but work. Entertainment. The way we sing, the language that we do. People don't realize the music that it can write. How does it have so much creativity?
It understands music the way it understands language. And, you know, today when you ask ChatGPT a question, it answers your question based on the context of the conversation. Well, you could have a context of the music. And the computer doesn't know the difference between letters, words, and sentences. It doesn't know it any more than it knows, you know, sounds and bars. And so it could create music in the same way that it creates language.
The same way it creates a better operating room. The same way it creates a better operation, a better machine to operate.
That's right.
These are all things that
better,
makes better.
Better chemicals for drugs, druggable chemicals. Better proteins for enzymes for, you know, antibiotics.
Well, then let's bring it back to Wall Street. Wall Street is trying to pigeonhole. And the truth is that your earnings have always exceeded. Even if you go back to 2016, it looked like your stock was expensive, turned to be cheap. How do we try to value what you talk about?
The opportunity for our company and the impact of our company has everything to do with the size of the industries that we serve.
Right.
There's never been a computing company that has directly impacted so many large industries before. Artificial intelligence is not a generic thing. It's artificial intelligence is an intelligence that is related to a particular domain. And so the artificial intelligence of information is one, for healthcare is another, for transportation is another, for manufacturing, for industrials. For each one of these industries, the technology that's associated with making the impact for that industry is different. And so our opportunity is very, very large.
But, okay, so you can't, look, you can't meet the demand by any means. And I think there's still this misunderstanding that, well, there'll be a transition between the H100 and Blackwell. All that stuff seems like it's nonsense to me. It's a continuum, and people would even, there are a lot of people who would just die for, they've never seen an H100. It's not outmoded, it works.
Yeah,
and it can create a giant liquefied natural gas boat.
The demand is so high, every customer wants to have their hopper right now. And they're more than happy.
Andy Jassy, if I called him, I said, listen, I think I can get you another 100,000 of these. Would he be happy?
He would be delighted.
He would be delighted.
Yeah, because they want a million more? Yes, because they want to build their business. They want to run their business today, not wait 9 months from now to run their business. They want to run it today. And so our chips are not a consumer product that you can wait next week for a year from now to buy. It's an operational part of your company. And you want to run your company today. And so hoppers will be in great demand and great, you know, great supply coming, but great demand for some time.
I thought that at the conference, one of the amazing things is that there are many companies that have nothing to do with technology. I saw John Deere. They make tractors. They need you?
I love the fact that John Deere's here. They make robotic tractors, make farming more efficient, so that the farmers could be more prosperous. And so all of this You have retails. You have consumers.
Yes.
Oh, it's incredible. Industrials.
Well, if you're,
some of the world's largest retailer
and you don't use you.
Rockwell Automation is here. In fact, one of my favorite things was a demo I couldn't do because we ran out of time. But Microsoft, Rockwell Automation, Hexagon did a digital factory completely in simulation. And it was just fantastic. Industrial digital twin. It was a fantastic demonstration. I hope that we'll put it online. But Microsoft, Rockwell, and Hexagon did a great job.
Okay, so what world issue are you most want to save? Earth 2, perhaps?
Well, artificial intelligence has its two greatest opportunities, I would say. Most greatest opportunity is the hardest. One is to learn the language of life, and that's healthcare.
Okay.
That is, if we could solve that in this generation, the impact to society be enormous. The other is to understand physics, understand science, multi-physics, very large scale physics, all the way down to small scale physics, so that we could predict the climate. The ability for us to understand these two things are so profound to society, and we're so excited about it. And that's the reason why NVIDIA has healthcare, NVIDIA is working on Earth 2, so that we could help contribute to the industry and all the other scientists that are working on this from our perspective of understanding how computers work and our perspective and our scale of computing. We might be able to make a contribution in these two areas. Super excited about it.
I do want to thank you for the contribution you've made to so many people who watch our show, who believe in you, and are correct to do so.
I'm grateful for all of your support. Thank you.
That's Jensen Huang. He's the founder, president, and CEO of NVIDIA, perhaps the greatest company I've ever seen. I like to say there's always a bull market somewhere. I promise I'm trying to find it just for you right here on Mad Money. I'm Jim Cramer. See you Monday. Last call starts now.
All opinions expressed by Jim Cramer on this podcast are solely Cramer's opinions and do not reflect the opinions of CNBC, NBC Universal, or their parent company or affiliates, and may have been previously disseminated by Cramer on television, radio, internet, or another medium. You should not treat any opinion expressed by Jim Cramer as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of his opinion. Cramer's opinions are based upon information he considers reliable, but neither CNBC nor its affiliates and or subsidiaries warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such. To view the full Mad Money disclaimer, please visit cnbc.com/Mad Money disclaimer.
The spirit of performance defines Acura, and now it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system and up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric could never be. It was built with the driver in mind, just like Acura's been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience this electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.